Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 141. Craig Kassar, you are running for city councillor in Ward 12. Welcome to the Public Records, the 155 Podcast.
Thank you very much, Joey.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am an Ancaster resident of 20 years. I'm married to my wife, Anka, and we have three children, teenagers, and been getting involved in the community over the years and really enjoy living in Ancaster and Hamilton. And I'm here because I want to do more.
Why are you running?
We've all observed over the last few years during this term of council, City Hall needs new leadership. I've been watching that. It's very obvious. And as I become more involved and watching more closely, I've come to the conclusion that someone needs to do something about it. And late last year, when I was talking to people in my circle, is anyone considering running? There were no yeses. So I'm the kind of person who won't stand by and just let things happen and grumble and complain. I decided that if no one else is going to run and try to improve our community, I would be that person. I knew I had a very unique combination of skills, leadership skills, and experience, and a deep passion for the community, as demonstrated by my volunteer activities, that I would be a great person to run and be counselor for Ward 12.
Do you live in Ward 12, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Absolutely does. I've lived in Ancaster with my family for 20 years. We currently live in the Meadowlands in the area near Springbrook and Garner Road near Redeemer University. And if someone is going to represent a community, they have to be there and get to know the day-to-day rhythms of the neighborhood, to know the people, the businesses. And I'm in the neighborhood and the community every day, walking, running, cycling. And I understand the mood of the people. We've been talking to people a lot in the last few weeks. So it's critical. You can't represent a community if you don't live there.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
I have a long list of my contributions and volunteer activities on my website, but I'd summarize it into two areas of focus. One, community, and specifically food security and the environment. First of all, on community, my family has been involved in the Ancaster Food Drive for 12 years. We go around and collect food from individual houses and bring that back as part of the food drive. I'm involved with community fridges, which is a new service that is available throughout Hamilton, where people can go and pick up food 24 hours a day. I am a volunteer that checks on the fridges and brings food to the fridges from businesses that donate. And also, the company I've worked for 24 years, Maple Leaf Foods, has a Center for Action on Food Security. And one of our partners is the McQuesten Farm in East Hamilton, where we work with organizations not just to donate and give them funds, but to help them become self-sustaining in the community to deal with food insecurity. And I also volunteer on the board of Don't Get Lost Adventure Running, which is a local group that encourages kids to get outside and learn to be comfortable in the natural environment. It's an orienteering group and has weekly programs for youth. So I've spent many years volunteering for that. On the environmental side, my wife and I volunteered at Royal Botanical Gardens and the Hamilton Naturalist Club. We spent many hours removing invasive species, which is part of organized efforts at those organizations to bring the natural environment back to what it should be on their properties. In the last couple of years, my wife and I have volunteered with the David Suzuki Foundation and the Butterfly Way Project. That is all about bringing native pollinator plants back into the community to support the population of pollinators like bees and butterflies and so on. And we have grown plants and given away almost 3,000 plants over the last couple of years, all free. We've helped communities plant their own community gardens. We've helped residents start their own pollinator gardens. And it's all about awareness to help people understand why that's important. I'd also mention that once the pandemic started and I didn't have to commute to work as much, I took that free time in the mornings to walk around my neighborhood and I noticed a lot of trash everywhere. So as I alluded to before, I'm not a person who will stand around and just say, well, that's a problem. Someone should do something. I started picking up trash on my walks. Over 117 different days, I've collected almost 400 bags of garbage And that's just because I want to improve my community and can't stand by and just watch it have trash blowing around. And then finally, I'd mention my involvement with Save Our Streams Hamilton and Stop Sprawl Hamilton. For Save Our Streams, it's an organization founded last year with a couple other friends, which is standing up and bringing a voice to our natural areas and our waterways. Many people will be familiar with the Garner Marsh story, which is a wetland at Garner Road and Highway 6 overpass in Ancaster. There's an application for a developer to build a 1 million square foot warehouse there. What I did to help the community is I did a 17-minute documentary called Follow the Flow of Ancaster Creek. And that takes you from the headwaters of Ancaster Creek, which are in the Garner Marsh, all the way down Ancaster Creek, Sherman Falls, the Ancaster Mill, into Coots Paradise. And it helps individuals and the community understand where the creek goes, what the effects would be if there's development there. And it's been viewed thousands and thousands of times on YouTube and Facebook, and I've had lots of positive feedback that it's helped people understand the issue. And even people who have lived in Ancaster their whole lives didn't know where Ancaster Creek was. It's just an example of how I can use my skills and knowledge to help the community and bring awareness to issues.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 12 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
As I indicated when I was the first to declare my candidacy back in April, one of my priorities for Ancaster is flourishing safe and inclusive neighborhoods, which is part of my platform. We need everyone to feel safe and more comfortable in their neighborhood. And one of the top issues is traffic safety and safety around our roads. At different times, we are each pedestrians or cyclists and drivers. So there's an intersection there that we all experience. And we've heard at the door that there's speeders, there's unsafe roads, and nothing has been done about it. One of the priorities here for me is to get a traffic audit done, because that hasn't been done. It's something that a counselor can request. We need to look at traffic calming measures to slow down speeding cars, to get sidewalks where we don't have sidewalks, build bike lanes, because people tell me they don't cycle because they don't feel safe on our roads. And this audit has been done in other wards, but not in Ward 12. And we have expert staff that can help with this. So we just need to put the resources and the focus on it. Second priority in Ancaster, and it's a very hot topic, is responsible and sustainable development. We do need development. We need to welcome a lot more people into Hamilton over the coming decades. But we need to do that development in a smart manner. So I'm not accepting donations from developers. I want to be unbiased and focused on what's good for the community. But one of the things that the community feels is we want to maintain the character of Ancaster, particularly the downtown area. And as a business leader, I know the importance of the BIA, the Business Improvement Area, and promoting Ancaster businesses. We have the new art center, and that's a great jumping off point to attract more business to make our downtown core in Ancaster more vibrant, more walkable. And it's funny that people, without being prompted, say they really like Dundas as a downtown and they wish Ancaster was more like that. So we need to find ways to bring development into Ancaster that fits the downtown core and the character, that doesn't contribute to more traffic, encourages people to walk and spend more money in businesses, which will be good for everyone. And there's a great example. It's in the news in early August here about 327 and 335 Wilson Street, where the whole community got behind approving an application to turn an existing building into a three-story building with commercial space on the ground floor and some residential units above. So that's the kind of thing that we need more of and that I work to bring into Ancaster. Now, speaking to Hamilton more broadly, first of all, I would say that I think the 15 ward councillors to date, generally as a group, have not done a good job of representing Hamilton as a whole. There's lots of individual ward interests, which are important, but we need to be looking at the city as a whole. I would put affordable housing and transit as a top priority. The city of Hamilton has over 1,000 acres of vacant land. We could be using that land productively in order to build affordable housing. And we have the LRT coming, and we need to be building more housing at the transit nodes and along the corridors. So I will absolutely support making that happen. And we need to make it easier to build SDUs, secondary dwelling units, and incentivize them, because that's how we're going to create more housing and make it more affordable for everybody. Secondly, It's the climate plan and dealing with the climate emergency that was declared in 2019. Part of my platform is this exact topic. I support the recent decision to make a climate change office focused on the climate change plan, and I support the ongoing funding for that. And we need to get behind the community emissions and energy plan, and I will make sure that that is executed as aggressively as possible.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 12 on Hamilton City Council?
I'm the only candidate in Ward 12 whose skill set and background brings all the elements needed to be a successful leader on City Council. I have the business experience, 24 years of senior management experience at Maple Leaf Foods. That comes with a strong financial acumen, a business sense, leadership, executive leadership, a vision to look into the future and determine what we need to do, but also the ability to get down into the details and understand budgets and how we can save money, because no one wants their taxes to go up and we need to find ways that we can use money efficiently. I'm also a very fast learner. There's lots of examples through my career where things are changing quickly and I need to get up to speed on specific issues that I was not involved with previously. So I know that I can translate that into my role as city councilor. I would also cite my interpersonal skills. I'm a very collaborative leader. I listen. I'm out there listening to residents now to hear what's important to them and help figure out what we need to do together. And I referenced my video before about the documentary Follow the Flow of Ancaster Creek. I'm an excellent communicator and can work with others to share and communicate my ideas and what we need to do and bring people together. And finally, it's my passion for the community. I mentioned my volunteer activities. I work tirelessly and have near limitless energy. As an athlete, a marathoner, an ultra marathoner, I have lots of stamina and I can work very, very hard. And I'm driven by that work and it gives me even more energy. So those are all the things that I bring to the table.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With all of this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Well, I'll start with a brief story. I mentioned my career at Maple Leaf Foods, and many listeners probably know 2008 and the Maple Leaf Foods listeriosis story. To remind them, some meat made and sold by Maple Leaf Foods was tainted with listeriosis and 23 people died. That was a terrible, terrible time in our history and for the history of the families affected. But at that time, our CEO, Michael McCain, even in the face of legal advice, they told him, don't speak to the public directly about this, don't take accountability. He stood up there and said, I'm responsible, I take accountability, the buck stops here. And that's the kind of leader I am. That is exactly how I would operate, because secrecy erodes trust. We need to be transparent, because transparency is respected and appreciated. We don't have enough of that in our city's leadership, and we need to build confidence back and get people to trust our leadership. So that's what I'm going to bring in my approach to city council. My values are direct communication, full transparency. When there's matters that concern the public, they need to be shared. They need to be shared with the public. I want to know as a citizen today, a private citizen, I want to know what's going on with the city, and I will take that into my role as councillor and make sure I'm pushing as hard as I can that when there's matters that affect the public, that they are shared publicly.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its recommendations and findings?
Well, this is such a huge issue and something that never should have happened. You mentioned the toxic culture at City Hall, and that's one of the things we need to improve on, and I will be working on to make it a culture where people can speak up and bring facts to light. And earlier this week, the council had to approve costs of up to $26 million of escalating costs on this, which is a huge waste of money that could have been avoided. So when this report is issued, I mean, of course, I will read the entire report in detail and look at ways we can learn from these mistakes and missteps, and not just on this specific issue, but going forward for anything else that happens in the future. We need to be open, transparent, and make the right decisions at the beginning so we're not eroding trust and incurring these millions of dollars of cost. So I'm going to work hard to improve the culture that created that situation and find a way where we're avoiding these things in the future.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
This is another huge topic, and there are people who are on both sides of the issue, and they likely will be throughout its construction and beyond. But this is where my leadership and senior management at Maple Leaf Foods will help. I've had to deal with a lot of change management, and that's just the term for helping people get through change. We need to be clear and communicate what's happening. We also need to listen and validate the concerns that people have, because there are legitimate concerns and we can't minimize them. That's step one to working with people to get through change. So we have to put a great deal of effort in bringing residents and businesses along and encourage and engage influential people in the community to help. There's already organizations that have been working on this, like the Hamilton Community Benefits Network. I actually walked part of the LRT line with that group and others to understand what the community's up against. We're not going to do this as council on our own. We need to make sure that we're bringing in these neighborhood and advocacy organizations and build strong relationships throughout the community so that everyone feels like they're heard and that we're doing the right thing. So we can't do it in isolation. Change management needs to be a big part of it, and that's where I have a lot of experience and can help.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's take a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 12 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Ward 12 is one of the few wards with rural areas, and there's a long history of family farming in the area. And also in this rural area are the headwaters of three watersheds, and I'm sure lots of people don't know that. There's the headwaters of Ancaster Creek, which I mentioned before, 20 Mile Creek, and the Welland River. So it's a pretty unique spot because it's the highest point on this part of the escarpment.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are two questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its residential zoning bylaws to conform with the provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law. Ward 12 zoning does not conform with the PPS. The result is ad hoc changes being imposed by the Ontario Land Tribunal. What is your vision for zoning changes in Ward 12? Please specifically address Wilson Street, intensification within the Meadowlands, and existing low-density single-detached zones.
Making planning decisions for Hamilton in Hamilton is crucial, and we need to have updated, modern, realistic standards to allow the right projects to move quickly and reduce the number of variances. I've talked to developers, architects, residents who support updating zoning rules because we are behind, and that's a big part of the problem why we can't get things done. We have to intensify regardless of the boundary decision that was made, of course, to freeze the urban boundary. And the increase because of that frozen boundary is negligible. So we have to intensify and find ways to do that that are acceptable to everyone. As I mentioned, I'm not taking donations from builders, but sat down with a developer the other day to talk about this matter. And in early August, there was a planning committee meeting with a recommendation for citywide zoning changes to allow homes to be converted to multi-dwelling units, which is a great way to be able to accommodate more housing units without building more. I support that. And that's actually going to help on Wilson Street and in the downtown core because we're not going to have to build as many things. We talked earlier about Wilson Street and my vision for that. We do need to conform to the secondary plan. We do need to make sure that the intensification adds to the city and doesn't create a lot more traffic, but actually brings more people in on foot so that people can spend more money on businesses and help the economy. In the Meadowlands, that's a very different part of the city, and we have lots of single-family dwellings there. There are vacant lots, which would be great to bring multi-use commercial space, have small restaurants, cafes there. There's work that could be done there, but it's very different and has a whole different character.
Large commercial plaza sites are converting into mixed-use mid-rise development across Hamilton. There was one formal consultation conceptual plan submitted for a Meadowlands plaza. At present, there are no city planning policies specific to commercial to mixed-use redevelopment. Within Ward 12, the plazas at Fiddler's Green and the portion of Old Highway 2 that served as the Highway 403 connector decades ago are good examples of potential redevelopment sites. What is your vision for this type of redevelopment, and how will you achieve that vision?
In general, single-story commercial with excess parking is problematic. A great example of this is the Meadowlands Power Center. We have so much wasted space, and you have to drive to get there. I've had people tell me stories that they're not going to walk just because they're taking their life in their hands walking across the parking lot. So with the examples you mentioned as well, we need to get away from single-story development that isn't mixed use. We need to bring mixed use in. I'll give an example of something in Vancouver. There's a block, downtown block, a city block that has mixed use in it. It actually has a Home Depot, a shopping center, and garden apartments along with retail on the main floor, the ground floor. So on the ground floor, you can walk up to small businesses and shop there. You can go up to the next level. There's the Home Depot. There's the grocery store. There's also parking. And then at the top level, these garden apartments. So that's a great use of space that we don't do very well here. We're starting to think that way in Hamilton. We have the Lime Ridge idea at Lime Ridge Mall. We have Eastgate. There's proposals to do more of this. So we need this kind of thinking in that direction within Ancaster and in the Meadowlands too, in ways that are going to be productive and help build a vibrant city. And all of this actually is helpful because it brings more tax revenue per hectare and helps reduce the tax burden. People don't want their taxes to go up, neither do I. And by bringing more tax revenue in, we're actually going to help that. These are the things, it's complicated, but these are the things we need to consider and find better ways to do it than we're doing today.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 12, with numerous pedestrian deaths in recent years, which have shocked and saddened the community. What is your plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
This is the top issue at DOORS all around Ancaster. The first thing is road design. Our roads are engineered for speed, regardless of what the speed limit sign says. A lot of them are long and straight, and even in residential neighborhoods. So we need traffic calming measures. Can do a traffic audit. I mentioned that earlier. We need to bring the experts from city staff to look at our roads and find ways we can add speed bumps, which people have asked for, narrowing of streets, bike lanes, which is the second thing here, is getting around and active mobility. Some places don't have sidewalks, so people can't actually get out and walk. We have some bike lanes through the Meadowlands, which is one of the busiest spots. The bike lanes are faded and disappear, so we need to build more bike lanes. And then finally, it's certainly not a solution, but we do need enforcement. Enforcement can't be there all the time. People are asking for it. They've noticed that there's not much enforcement, whether that's police officer presence, and I understand there's resource constraints there, but the idea of photo radar or other ways, we do need enforcement to encourage people to slow down. Because I said signs and speed limits just aren't good enough.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for a decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I'm a lifelong student. I'm always reading and always learning. Every year, I think I become a better person, more knowledgeable and wiser. I typically read 30 to 40 books a year. And in the last year, I've been focusing on city building books. There's so much material out there and so many really smart people who are city planners like Brent Totteren, Charles Montgomery. There's a lot of knowledge out there, and we have a lot of knowledge in our city staff too, so I need to give them credit. I'm always learning and want to learn from people and talk to people. I've taken massive online open courses, which I will continue to do on the topics of smart cities as well as Indigenous Canada was a great course. And I've been speaking to Indigenous people and getting to as many events as possible, because that is a very important perspective to learn. I want and will continue to seek perspectives with people of perspectives different than my own. I'm open-minded. I listen. I want to learn from others in the city, particularly if they disagree, because I think there's a lot to be learned from debating from different points of view. So I'm already reaching out to the community and talking to people with different perspectives. I will continue to do that. And I guess I would summarize by saying, I think I'm a reasonably intelligent person, but if I think I'm the smartest person in the room, then I probably shouldn't be there, because I always want to be around people who can contribute and help me learn more.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
Lots of feedback on this at the doors in Ward 12. There is frustration that the city does not respond quickly enough, and it can take weeks and months. I know we have tremendous staff and they're working hard every day, but staffing is an issue, I think, and we need to find ways to enable our staff to do what they need to do. We may need more staff in certain areas. Some of the things we've talked about earlier could generate more tax revenue to be able to hire more staff. So that's one thing. And I know there's been talk about a 311 service, which would help get information and concerns from citizens to the city more quickly, more effectively. I know that this was an option probably 20 years ago. Hamilton did not adopt it. Lots of other cities have done that. Even cities and communities smaller than Hamilton have done it. So that's something I'm really interested in and will look into.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Some of the things we've talked about have touched on this. So I will speak to climate change and the impact that that is going to have on quality of life, both long-term and short-term. Long-term, it's about mitigation. We need to be thinking about the Climate Action Plan and establishing that office we spoke about earlier, as well as the Community Energy and Emissions Plan. Our quality of life for everybody will deteriorate if we don't act boldly here. We've even had young children come to the door with their parents and speak about climate change and the environment and ask what we're doing. That's quite telling, and that's something that I'm going to focus on, because we need to be mitigating the effects of climate change. But also, we need to look at climate adaptation. One of the things in my platform is the urban tree canopy. What people may not know is the temperature difference you can achieve by having a shaded tree street or yard versus no trees is 10 degrees Celsius or more. I mean, that is huge in helping us adapt to the climate change, which is already happening now. And things like delivering environmental justice, making sure we have misting stations available for the public, access to community pools, cooling centers. We do some of those things today. We need to be doing it more and putting thought into how we expand those things and making sure it's available to all the people who need them.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council, and what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
For me, I would say collaborative, responsive, and productive. For the city of Hamilton as a whole, I would say transparent, transformative, and effective.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
Yes, thank you, Joey. I would just summarize by saying that I'm the only candidate with the skills and experience and passion to succeed in the role as councillor for Ward 12. I have 24 years of business experience in Maple Leaf Foods and all that that brings. I already have deep community involvement in the volunteer activities I do. I'm an active listener and a communicator. I'm already putting in time listening to people and will continue to do that and be open to hear feedback from people. And at my core, I'm driven to help others. I have a passion to help others. And I think if you don't have that, you can't be a successful community leader. And finally, Joy, I'd like to thank you for this initiative with the podcast. It's a great initiative. It's great for democracy, and it's a great way for the residents of Hamilton to get to know their candidates.
Thank you again for joining us. And in closing, how do people find out more about you and your platform?
They can find my website at www.craigforward12.ca.
This has been episode 141 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of The Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.